Hey, before we dive into this week's episode about Cassandra and Jean, we just want to wish Mark Garreau, GD Nerd, a fast and speedy recovery. We hope you are back on your feet as soon as possible. See what I did there, buddy?
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name is Sung Soo, and I'll be joined in a moment by my dear co-host, Pat Dunford. And today, we're doing some box reviews, because there are a lot of boxes coming out for Marvel Crisis Protocol. We're going to be talking about Jean Grey and Cassandra Nova. But first, Pat, how you doing over there in the UK?
I'm doing great, thanks, TT. It was Freedom Day in the UK yesterday. We came out of lockdown. And to celebrate, I am now painting Captain America, Falcon, Sam Wilson. So yeah, feeling pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, doing really well. No complaints. I start a new job next week. You know this, Pat, but I guess it's relevant for the listeners because it will change our recording cadence behind the scenes. As far as listeners are concerned, it shouldn't be any different. Patrons, you still get that episode early. And non-patrons, hopefully still releases on Monday, depending, or Tuesday, depending on when TT gets around to posting, whether it's UK time or American time. So yeah, life's going well though. Really no complaints. Good luck with the opening up again. COVID's still obviously very real and very weird.
Thanks. We are going to need it.
All right. Slightly happier subject. We're going to jump in here. We have Cassandra Nova and Jean Grey. Pat, where do you want to start?
So let's go with Cassandra Nova. I'm excited to talk about both these characters. But Cassandra is maybe the most interesting to me. She's certainly the wackiest. Going through her top line card, she's got 7 stamina on her healthy side. On her injured 6, that's the only difference between front and back. So 13 stamina in total. She's got the standard medium move in size 2. She's a 5 threat character with defensive stats 2 physical, 3 energy, and 4 mystic. That 2 physical is pretty bad, let me tell you, with so many physical attacks and throws of the game. And then her attacks, she's got Psionic Bolt. This is a range 4, 5 dice mystic builder with sap power. Really solid attack. Mind Possession, which is pretty unusual. Range 3, 6 dice mystic attack for 1 power. And after the attack is resolved, you can advance the target character its speed. Not short, its speed. And last and not least, Flesh Manipulation. A range 2, 8 dice physical attack for 4 power. I guess this is when she like puts her hand through you and wiggles around with your insides and stuff. It has Explosive Force, which is wild, same as Black Panther's ability. After the attack is resolved, other characters are pushed away from her and suffer damage. What do you make of this character so far, TT?
First of all, I hate the name Flesh Manipulation. I don't know what about it bothers me, but I'm just not a fan of
manipulating that, flesh? It's not your jam? No, I don't blame you.
It just sounds weird. Like, people always have these words that they don't like, right? And it's just like a weird one. The wife doesn't like the word splice for some reason. Doesn't bother me. I'll say splice, but flesh manipulation?
No.
It's kind of weird. Obviously, I think the elephant in the room is people continue to compare her to MODOK. Mm-hmm. And Psionic Bolt is really, really good. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the ACS and some in this episode about when you may take MODOK and when you take Cassandra. I think it's a fantastic suite of powers. I love that Mind Possession only costs 1. I think it's huge. I love that the advance doesn't have any kind of triggering clause associated with it, right? And I know, I understand people are going to say MODOK has Bow. I get it. I just really like Mind Possession as an attack, right? I'm just looking at Cassandra, and I like Mind Possession as an attack. I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's great. And it's different to Bow, right? It's got the same range, but it costs less power. It costs an action, but it does decent damage with 6 dice. And advancing speed is generally better than advancing short like Bao does.
Yeah, I mean, at its worst, it's going to be a short advance, right? And its upside is, you know, much
higher.
Could
be a lot of upside.
I definitely like the top side. Let's finish out her card here, Pat, though, and then we can talk about kind of her in general. So she's got a suite of superpowers. Let's start with the passive. Healing factor 1 and flight. Just kind of solid quality of life things there. We have another passive called Telepathic Cloak. Characters must be within range 3 to target with attacks. Basically stealth with another name, which is relevant for reasons we've talked about before. She has Biokinesis, which is a 3-cost active power. Choose an enemy character within 3. It gains the Root and Slow special conditions. Big fan of this one. Reactive Psychic Distraction for 2. When an enemy character ends a movement within 3 of this character may use a superpower. Roll 4 dice. The enemy character suffers 1 damage for each I believe it's wild and crit rolled. If the superpower causes at least 1 damage, this character may advance short. We've seen this recently on Mysterio. Just another really great power, and I guess when we consider how much power she can gain with Psionic Bolt, she'll be using this a whole lot, where Mysterio can kind of get stuck on power. And then we have Telekinetic Deflection, 2 reactive. This character would suffer a collision. It may use his superpower. This character does not suffer damage from this collision. Hey, 2 defense doesn't look so bad anymore, as long as we have power, right? Yeah. So we got to add all these things together. Some really cool superpowers. The superpowers don't really help her with offensive output at all, right? It's just kind of like quality of life, bouncy, really good stuff, but doesn't really change our offensive output. So what do we think of Cassandra?
Yeah, the superpowers are all about survivability and control, right? And her basic survivability for 5 threat is not good. So those powers are welcome. And the control is building on her attacks. Psionic Bolt has a little bit of control in Sap Power. And of course, Mind Possession is a huge amount of control in that movement. I think as a total package, she's really interesting. She has so many great ways to spend power. And I think if you have the ball at your disposal, her turns are very, very strong. But the problem, of course, is you're not really going to have enough power to do everything she wants to do. Because, you know, if she's one of those characters that if you activate with 10 power, you can easily spend it all in her activation. And most of the time, you're going to have to make some tough decisions about what you value more. Would you rather mind possession someone, or would you rather keep that power for a telekinetic deflection, right? Would you rather use biokinesis? Would you rather save that power for psychic distraction? There's a lot of different options, and each of them has a different cost associated with, right? You're going to have to really think hard about how you spend that power to get the best benefit out of her.
So I do want to talk about biokinesis real quickly, because I think this is interesting when you couple it with mind possession, right? They're both range 3. So you have the option to slow the character, but then if you move the character, they're only going to move slow. Root's obviously, we've talked about Root, which is a middle of the road to low power impact ability, right? When we compare it to some of the other status effects in the game. What do we think about that? How often do you think you'll be slowing people before you take the advance with them?
I think it will happen more than you think. And the reason for that is because if your plan is to advance them away from you and you're putting them outside of range 3 with that advance, then what you're doing a lot of the time is effectively staggering them, right? You're forcing them to spend a move action to go back to where they need to be, assuming that's relevant. But then if it's not relevant, why are you moving them away from you at all? So if your plan is to move them away from you, often that's like a stagger. That's going to be true if you slow them first, right? Because when they activate, they're going to be slowed. If you move them away short, they have to move back short. So I don't think it has a dis-synergy. Where it might be less synergistic is if you want to pull them toward you and you want to close the distance in order to get other people in your team to be relevant and maybe make attacks against them. But at that case, it's probably one of those situations where spending the power on biokinesis is not the best way to spend her limited power supply, considering all of her options. And indeed, if you do want to move them closer, it only costs 1 more power to do mind possession than flesh manipulation compared to mind possession and biokinesis. And if you're pulling them in to damage them, that might be the line that you take, depending on the resources available to you.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And one thing I think we disagree on this one point. I actually think she has a hard time spending out her power stack. Really? I feel like if you activate her with 10 power, unless we just want to root everyone in range. Yeah, because I mean, 2 of her big things are going to be reactive powers, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, I guess you could flesh manipulation twice. But she doesn't have bow. She doesn't have the rerolls that MODOK has, because that, you know, a comparison is always going to live. I found that she dumps power fine, but she doesn't. She's not one of those characters where you can just shunt endless amounts of power through, like Enchantress even, right?
Now, that's fair. Like, you're right. You probably don't want to bother biokinesing everyone you can, although it would be pretty cute when that comes up.
You could, to your point, right?
Yeah, you could. I mean, what I'm really thinking, the way I've been playing with her, and I've only got a couple of games in with her so far, but the way that I like to play her is I like to have at least 2 power on her, right, when I'm ending her activation. Because 2 power is enough to either use Psychic Distraction or Telekinetic Deflection, and having the option of either is great, right? Because then your opponent is disincentivized to play into either option, right? If I just have 2 power, then you get punished if you come towards me, you get punished if you throw things at me, you don't want to do either. And that 2 power is essentially protecting me from both lines of attack. Now, obviously, that's not always going to work. Sometimes your opponent will just make you then decide which power you use, right, and try and burn through your power stack. But I like having at least 2 power on her at all times. And I think that's part of the reason why I think you don't have enough power, right? Is when I say you spend all her power, I'm kind of mentally allocating at least 2 for those defenses. And I think it would not be unreasonable to want to allocate more than that. Bear in mind that one way that you can spend your power, which might not be immediately obvious, is you can, and I think this will come up a lot, is you can mind possession someone, keep advancing, have them advance and stay within 3, and then that will trigger Psychic Distraction. So you can actually use Psychic Distraction in your own activation as part of your attack to have Mind Possession become a good damage attack, a move for them, a move for you, and extra damage on them, which is an incredibly powerful action.
Which I guess is one of those other situations where you might even Biokinesis first, right? If your goal is to get them to max 3, right, to trigger the Psychic Distraction so then Cassandra can take that move away from you.
Yeah.
And I guess even with Biokinesis, all right, that's only 6 power total. But don't get me wrong, I get it. It's 6 power. But we've all played MODOK, right? Where MODOK just like dumps power out, and we've all used Cassandra with Psionic Bolt, right? She can generate a ton of power. So I do like her. She's interesting. I've ended up with games where she's just had a decent amount of power on her. And one of the reasons why, Pat, for me is I like each one of her attacks. I like the total package of her attacks. But her spender flesh manipulation, it's not like Iron Fist, where that's what I'm really going for. There's a lot of times where I'm up in power and I'm like, you know what, I'm still just going to use Mind Possession. I think it's the best attack here, the best option I have.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think especially the range of flesh manipulation makes it more less likely to be used with her, because you tend to want to stay far away from your opponent so that you can take advantage of your stealth by another name, right? And you can force psychic distractions if your opponent comes into you. I mean, her primary builder is great because it's a range 4 attack on a character that can't be attacked from range 4 herself. So you really want to be playing keep away. One of the things I found with her is if you do run out of power or you get too close, then things can go downhill really fast. Like, what you do not want to happen is for a character with good physical attacks to just be in range of you when they activate, right? You do not want to be standing within range 2 of Baron Zemo. Right? Because you just die. Like, none of her defenses work if the character is just in range at the start of their activation. So I found, like you, that I'm using Mind Possession a lot just to make sure that she stays safe, and that's very preferable to having her advance away from people that are otherwise going to murder her.
So have you struggled with her positioning on the table?
Yeah, definitely. It plays a bit like Mysterio. But one of the things that I've found is, so Mysterio has the same ability. His is Tricks and Traps, right? And his is technically worse because it costs more power. But the thing about Mysterio is Mysterio is only 3 threat. And he's got 11 stamina, and his defenses are fine. You could argue about who's a better, but his are sometimes 5s across the board, right? Sometimes 1s. Her physical is always a 2. And none of her stats got to 5. But the point I'm trying to make is, Mysterio is almost as tough as her and has the same defense. And on Mysterio, I feel like Tricks and Traps is great because it's really frustrating for my opponent to deal with. And even if they get around it, I don't care too much. Like, Mysterio is quite hard to take down, and if he is taken down, he's only 3 threat. With Cassandra, I don't feel that way because Cassandra's a 5 threat character with similar survivability. It feels like she lives and dies a lot more on her Psychic Distraction because, rather than it being like a nice benefit and I don't mind if I don't get it, with her 5 threat cost, I feel like if I'm not protected by Psychic Distraction, this character is a giant liability. And if I let someone just attack her and she dies, it's a disaster. So I feel like her positioning in defense is much more on a knife edge than Mysterio. Like, the penalty for screwing up is so much higher because you lose a much more valuable character. And for that reason, I have found it difficult because, like you said, you need to, you can't let people kind of overwhelm you, and you can't let all of your defenses drop. And I'd also add, oh, it really stings when you'd use psychic distraction that you just don't get any damage rolls. And, you know, your opponent takes that chance and charges someone in at you. And then, like, about a third of the time, psychic distraction doesn't do any damage. And then Cassandra Nova can quite easily get murdered.
Yeah, I've really struggled with kind of how to play her on the team. And I only have a handful of games with her as well. But it's just been an interesting... I didn't think she would be as hard to play as she is. And not hard to play, as hard to get, like, really good mileage out of her as it's been. But I really do like her kit. I love that she's one of those characters where you always have different lines with her, right? And mm-hmm. I really love having that kind of character on the board. And I like that it's a higher skill cap character. So when I say she's hard to play, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, if you put the repetition in, if you get the mastery, so to speak, with her, and I don't mean to make it sound like, I mean, we're playing with toy soldiers. I get it. Mastery is a weird word here. But if you get the reps with her, she you do end up seeing dividends behind it, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'd also add that it's a bit of a double-edged sword, right? And it can work in your favor because I also think she's very hard to play against because she has a lot of options and she presents some really unpleasant choices when you're trying to deal with her, right? If she has that two power and her defensive tech is active, she can be a real chore to actually take down. And I don't know about you, but personally, if I'm presented with the option of do I charge into Cassandra Nova and hope for the 1-in-3 chance that she is not going to walk away with psychic distraction, I'm not going to take that risk. I'm going to let her do her thing, and I'm going to go after an easier target whenever that's an option.
I think that's an interesting conversation. I guess it's a good one to have now. I played a local at one of my game stores because we are, and I apologize, I don't remember your name. I'm very sorry. But they were paralyzed in fear based on the potential of what Cassandra would do. So they gave her such a wide berth that I ended up winning pretty easily on scenario. So how do you evaluate that, Pat? Where this player, he was always like, well, she could do bing, bing, bang, bang. And then he's like, I'm just going to stay away from her. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, you can say that about almost every MCP character, but I'm like, okay. So you just gave her this huge bubble, like a range 4 bubble, and just like, and I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, did Cassandra do anything? No, but it was this weird threat projection. And they just kind of talked themselves out of ever kind of engaging with her.
Yeah, I can't imagine that that's the right course of action to take. Maybe if you can get away with it, I think it would depend on the circumstances, right? If there's other things you can be doing on the table that are as good or better and you don't have to risk that. It's interesting, though, because every time you're trying to deal with a character in MCP, it usually involves rolling dice, right? And sometimes people... Like, when you have this new way of having to deal with a character, you can forget that all of the ways you have of dealing with the characters are inherently risky. And, like, is it better to charge Thor into Cassandra and hope that a third of the time she fails her psychic distraction? Or is it better to charge Thor into MODOK and understand that two-thirds of the time you're not going to kill him because he's got 10 stamina and ignores your wilds? Right? Like, in either case, Thor's chances of success are not very good. But I think people would happily charge into MODOK if they see that as being their best line of play in a way that they wouldn't go into Cassandra because of where the variance is and because of how obvious it's like all or nothing with Cassandra.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we start getting into like psychological almost there, right? What feels better despite what's actually better there. And I don't know the right answer, but I do agree that like you can't just ignore her, right? You can't live in fear of what this character or other characters in MCP can do, right? You still need to try to find yourself lines to win the game, and just avoiding a large swath of the table is not it.
Usually, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. In this particular game, was it... Were you able to get enough leverage out of her even if she wasn't being interacted with? You could just score enough points from her?
Yeah, I just sat on the points and scored them and they stayed away. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm winning. I don't need to be overly aggressive in the situation, right? Like, they needed to push and they just never pushed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they pushed too late, right? They pushed on the turn and was like, oh, you're going to win this round. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think as time goes on, Cabal is increasingly getting these options in their roster that mean that they can do this kind of play style, right? This is something we're going to delve into more in the ACS, but I think it's a good thing to bring up because I think it's becoming a valid strategy at MCP to have these kind of weird control options and effects and limit what your opponent could do or make everything very unappealing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Unappealing is a good way to put it. No, I was actually playing her in Sam Wilson Avengers. So.
Oh, nice. Why not?
Yeah, it was a fun little roster. So, okay, I think that's enough about Cassandra. Let's move on to Jean Grey, whose alias is Jean Grey. 6 stamina on her healthy side, 7 on her injured side, medium mover, size 2, 5 threat, 3, 4, 5 for defenses. Pretty chunky defenses there.
Yeah, no bad.
Sonic Bolt! Have you heard of this power, Pat? It's a range 4 attack, mystic, 5 dice, doesn't cost anything. Power equal to damage done, and wild set power. It's really good. It's kind of like MODOK.
MODOK with one less dice.
You're right. Telekinetic Force, range 3, 9 dice, 6 costing. Before damage done, if the character is size 4 or less, no worries there, the character may throw the character away short. And then Wild Explosive, which we saw before. Before damage dealt, other characters within 2 suffer 1 damage. So what do we think of the top half of Jean Grey? Love her hair.
Yeah, big hair, always good. I like her. She has also got quite bad defensive stats. She has 1 more in each defense than Cassandra. But, spoiler, unlike Cassandra, she doesn't have a lot of good ways to protect herself. So for her threat level, she's quite fragile, especially against physical attacks, where 6 stamina, 3 defense puts you in the danger zone if people can double attack you. I really like Telekinetic Force. Look, spender attacks inherently are not that good, right? We know that we don't use them that often. There's tons of other ways to spend power, and usually you want to be spending your attacks to generate power and then using your superpowers, right? But this is an incredibly powerful spender, and it adds a tool to her toolbox, right? Because it means that she can quite legitimately convert power, if she has excess power, into very high damage. This is one of the best spenders in the game in terms of raw damage output, right? The fact that it's 9 dice plus a throw plus explosive, you can also time the explosive and the throw because they both happen before damage is dealt. So you can explode in a clump of enemies and then throw the target away, or you can throw the target into a clump of enemies and then explode. This is a lot of collateral damage as well as a lot of direct damage to the target.
Yeah, I really like Telekinetic Force. Let's finish her kit and then we can circle back here. So we have an active superpower and battlefield manipulation to size 4 throw for medium. Size 4 throw in 3 for medium, cost 3. We have matter transmutation, cost 3. Choose another character with an activated token within 2 and push it short. A character can be moved by this power only once per turn. That's really cool. We'll get into that more a little bit later. Reactive shield mine, cost 2. When this character or an allied character within 4, which is gigantic, would be advanced, placed, or pushed by enemy mystic attack or enemy superpowers, you may use his superpower. The allied character is not advanced, placed, or pushed. Again, really cool. Passive latent, she gains an additional power, and then passive flight. So again, no real durability things there. Shield mine's really, really cool. Battlefield manipulation, I really like. I like all of these. Where do we want to start? And this is my issue with Telekinetic Force, is like, I love all of these powers so much, Pat. Spending 6 on Force kind of hurts. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has so many great ways to spend power.
Yeah, I mean, like I said with Force, the thing about Force is you're not going to use it all the time. I already said that in general, spenders are not very popular, right? But what I like about it is it's a way for her to convert her power into damage. So if you have, for example, 10 power, right? You could spend 9 power on damage through a throw with battlefield manipulation and a telekinetic force. That's just a nice option to have. You could also spend all of that power on shield mines or matter transmutations or whatever, right? But it's just nice to be able to turn up the damage when you really need it. I don't think that's the reason you take this character, though, right? I think the reason you take this character is matter transmutation plus shield mind and the options that gives you on the table in regards to controlling the enemy and protecting your team.
Yeah, and I think it's important to highlight how good of a power generator Psionic Bolt is, right? The passive sap power, it's mystic, 5 dice. It's just a really nice, I'm going to gain a couple power every time I throw this thing out there. That's hyperbole. I understand variance, but she's going to be able to generate her own power in addition to latent psychic potential, mm-hmm. which gives her that one additional power per round. I really like her kit. I like all of these things a lot. I've been playing her with classic Captain America because it's me and that's what I do. I've liked her in A-Force a whole lot, and I've really liked her in Brotherhood. I think she's a I really like her. I love her different modality that she can use. I've always been a big fan of PSD the card, so I mm-hmm. really like Shield Mind. I like this character a lot.
Yeah, I like Shield Mind a lot too. Shield Mind works against a lot of corner case stuff, but the stuff that it works against that I think is not very corner case that you see quite often is the Bao style superpowers, right? So like Bao on MODOK, Cyrus Call on Enchantress, Puppets on Mr. Sinister, right? It works against Mind Gem on Thanos most commonly, but also on Loki. And it works against Thanos' Cosmic Portal as well. So it's really good against Thanos. And then the other category, apart from Bowels and Thanos, that it's really good against is Web Warrior Pulse. Things like Venom's Web Snare and the Web Lines, right? From like Peter Parker, Classic Spider-Man, a Ghost Spider, right? All of those don't work as well. So like that alone is quite a big chunk of stuff people play, right? It's like the Web Warriors, Thanos, and a bunch of really popular splash characters that you see in a lot of affiliations, especially MODOK and Enchantress.
Yeah, I like it when characters can just impact the game in more ways than mm-hmm. just one, right? So her damage output is very respectable. I love the fact that she basically has two throws between telekinetic force and battlefield manipulation. And then we factor on just a bunch of really quality utility there, right? She's going to be able to play the scenario game really well. Her ability to push already active characters, right? I know she doesn't have a character throw outside of telekinetic force, but right, her ability to just push them off there is really strong. And then Shield Mind to help you, hey, this is where I want to be. I think she's a great character.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's really good. I think she's very much a backline character because she's quite fragile for her cost. And the way that her powers work, she wants to be as far away as possible while still being relevant. And I like that Shield Mind in particular works really well for protecting your team in that situation. I also think that quite interestingly, she's a 5-threat character who has quite a big incentive to activate towards the end of a round. And I think that's quite unusual because most 5-threat characters tend to be your centerpiece, like powerhouse damage dealers, and they tend to often want to go early in a round to get early damage whenever like you're not worried about giving up priority, for example. But she has a couple of things that make her incentivized to go towards the end of the round, right?
Yeah, I mean, matter transmutation and it's obviously the biggest one. What else mm-hmm. did you have in mind there?
Yeah, so matter transmutation is by far the biggest. And then the other thing is just, and this is maybe a smaller point, but the fact that she generates two power around and she has Shield Mind means that she is doing something relevant before she activates, right? If she's near the back of your team, she's protecting your team with Shield Mind. So she is doing something passively that's defending you even before you've activated her. So she's having a relevant impact on the game state before she goes. And then you can leave her as long as possible so you can get more value out of matter transmutation and then activate to generate more power to turn Shield Mind back on if that's something that matters to you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've been using her more of like a midfield role, committing her late to a scrum and then hopefully at the beginning of next round, you know, being able to manipulate enough stuff so she doesn't get punished. But I've really enjoyed playing with Jean Grey. She's a lot of fun. She's a character that I look forward to playing more. I actually don't have Jean Grey in person yet. Did you get her yet?
Oh, yeah. I don't have it by the side of the table anymore. That's just War Machine and Captain Falcon. But yeah, we've had her now in the UK for a couple of weeks and she's great. Really cool model. I had a nightmare attaching her to like the energy things that come on her base. But she's working now and good.
All right. So anything else about Jean Grey, the character?
I think we could say a lot, but I think we've covered it nicely. Obviously, we're going to go into more detail as time moves ever onwards. Like, I want to play her more in X-Men. I think she'll have a really good home in X-Men, where X-Men are quickly becoming a really effective range team, right? They've got Cyclops, Cable, Domino, and Storm in affiliation that all have really good range game, and Storm's leadership enhances that, right, giving you cover at range. And I think Jean Grey fits really well into that team, where she can stop them from being dragged forwards with Shield Mind, and she can also support them later on with Matter Transmutation, pushing them forward to score when they need to, pulling them further back. I think she'll be really good in that affiliation.
I am rarely disappointed about affiliation includes and excludes, but I was she would be an amazing A-Force character, and I was a little disappointed she wasn't in there. But I played her in A-Force really well. I like her in Brotherhood a lot, and yeah, I'm an Avengers homeboy, so I like Avengers as well.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, Brotherhood seems great for her, right? With her telekinesis-style ability and tons of ways to spend power. Cool.
Yeah, I like her in that, too. Also, Brotherhood has that minimum character eye, right? So we're going to Magneto early in the round, to your point. We're going to pass in the middle. Jean Grey is going to follow up in the end, right? She provides a little bit of protection for the scenario game to keep you relevant. And, yeah, the throws are super good.
Yeah,
I think honestly, just a strong mystic attack is really nice in Brotherhood.
Yeah, I think it's interesting compared to Scarlet Witch. And the question is, which would you rather have? Scarlet Witch obviously does a lot more damage, right? And Scarlet Witch adds really interesting effects to people that she is attacking, which is cool. But Jean Grey gives you a lot of options with Matter Transmutation. And Shield Mind is very powerful in the situations where it matters. And I could see situations where you would rather have Jean Grey than Scarlet Witch in a Brotherhood roster.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And I'm not saying what I'm doing is the right thing, but I've never felt like I've had an issue dazing or KOing characters with Brotherhood, right? And Scarlet Witch just kind of, which is normally what you want to do with something competitive, right? You want to make it do what it is meant to do better, which is, I'm going to remove people from the table. I like Jean so that the scenario deficit I normally find myself in Brotherhood after round one or two just isn't as large. Right, yep. She's able to steal me or prevent me from being pushed off a point, right? And she just gets me that 1 or 2 point swings in round, you know, 1, 2, or 3. And then it just makes it a little bit easier for the swing back later on. And maybe that's the wrong way to approach it. And we can talk about this maybe in a Brotherhood dojo later on. But that's kind of what the role I've been using her to fill.
I don't think it's wrong way at all. That sounds cool to me. It's always great when characters make you play in a different way, right? And you can get a lot of mileage out of that. It could turn out to be a bit of a hidden gem.
All right, so we do have some tactics cards here. We're going to start with Mental Domination. It's a physical attack, range 2 dice, 0 cost, unaffiliated active card. Cassandra Nova or Jean Grey may spend 3 to play this card. Choose an enemy character within 3 of this character. Advance the chosen character short. Then, the character that played this card makes the above attack. When measuring range and line of sight from the attack, measure from the chosen character, not the attacking character. So whichever character you move forward, as like the War Machine Arc node, that's when we're going to be coming off of. Add dice to the attack roll equal to the physical character defense, the physical defense of the chosen character. You may re-roll any number of opposing defense dice in the defense rolls. So this is a whole lot of text. It's maybe the most complicated tactic card, attack card we have. And it's one of those ones where I had to read it a few times. I'm like, okay, it's interesting. What do you think of it?
So I think it's good. I think if you ignore most of the text and you just read, during their activation, Cassandra Nova and Jean Grey can spend 3 to play this card. Choose an enemy character within 3 of this character. Advance the chosen character short. If that was all it said, this card would be quite good. The fact that it is also giving you this wacky attack is definitely not bad. It's pure upside that situationally could be very strong, right? So the way this attack works is it's 2 physical plus the physical defense of the character that's moving, and you measure the attack from them, but it's still Cassandra or Jean that's technically making the attack, so it's still like an enemy effect, for example. So so the picture on this card has Beast on it, right? If I Mental Domination Beast, I get a 6 dice physical attack after moving him, and the defender against that attack it's going to be worse because I get to reroll any number of their defense dice. So I'm just going to reroll all their successes, right? I think for 3 power, getting a relevant move that will sometimes also give you quite a powerful attack is pretty good.
I like the card. I don't think if it was just spend 3 to move me, it'd be great, but I think it'd be a good card for sure.
It's fine.
We can quibble about that some other time. I don't really think it matters. I like this one. I would actually be very tempted to take this. If I had a roster that was going to be playing one of these 2 ladies consistently, I would be very tempted to take this card. I really, really like it. Its upside is huge. And I love at the bare minimum, it's another way for Jean to kind of just leverage this. I'm going to win on scenario and I'm going to be a pain in your backside as I kind of do this, right? My characters can't be moved. I have a bunch of different ways to move you around and I'm able to put out a reasonable amount of damage. I think it's a really good card.
Yeah, and of course it plays a Cassandra's game plan as well, right? Because it's another way to move the enemy. Worth noting that mental domination works with psychic distraction, right? So you can also combo those together if you want another way to escape with Cassandra Nova. So, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's hard to quantify. My feeling about it is that it's like its fail case is good enough that I'm always happy to have it. And its best case scenario is really, really good. Where you could set up, like, the best case scenario for this card is, like, I move your character off a point, and then I also daze the other character that was going to come up and fight for this point. And just like that, I've secured the side of the table, right? That kind of situation is incredible. So I would be happy to take this card. I think it's very compelling. And I think, although Cassandra and Jean have a lot of ways to want to spend their power, I think this competes with those ways. So I would definitely consider it.
So, I mean, we kind of already talked about this with Jean, right? I really like the reach it gives those characters for an individual thing. If I need to attack Rocket on your rear D, right, I'm able to move a character that's in 3. I'm going to move him a short. I'm going to attack within range 2. So the total distance from the model I'm attacking to Jean or Cassandra can be quite large. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons that I really liked it. It's just, it gives you that kind of additional dig. There is... You kind of alluded to it. There is an opportunity cost here with they have really good attacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying a 5 or 6 dice, which let's just, it's going to be a 5 or 6 dice physical attack, right? It's not incredible. It's not as good as their other attacks, but I like it. I think it's
bear in mind, really this isn't an attack action for them, right? So this is an extra attack you're getting on top of your attack actions.
Oh, I thought it was an attack action.
No, you just play the card, you move the character.
Oh, you're right.
After you move the character.
You're right.
Yeah, so it's another way of turning their power into more damage as well as more control.
I
does that make you a bit higher on it?
I'm cheating myself. It does, and I was already pretty high on the card to begin with. So, yeah, sign me up. Let's go mental domination. So the next card, Pat, I'm going to let you read it, but I need a lot of emotion from you in the character name.
All right. The character name is... Jean! And it's Cyclops being very upset that Jean Grey has fallen over. Probably Baron Zemo got to her. It's unaffiliated reactive cards. When an allied Jean Grey is dazed or KO'd after the effect is resolved, Cyclops or Wolverine can play the card. Wolverine getting in on the action there. And then the character that played the card can make an attack. So, importantly, they don't pay any extra cost to make this attack, right? They can just make an attack on their card for whatever the cost of that attack is, and it could be any attack. Sometimes you see these effects and they have to be like an attack that is zero power, right? Like Wakanda Forever. But if Cyclops has the power, he can go full beam with this attack. What do you think?
Yep, or Wolverine could Berserker Barrage, right?
Mm.
This comes back to what you said. I think if you're playing X-Men, I think it's a compelling, like, whenever you can get a free attack, like apparently Mental Domination does, I'm a big fan. Like, if a tactics card is giving you an action, I'm usually a fan of the tactics card. I think that's, like, that value exchange. I'm like, yeah, I'm a fan of this. I don't... Cyclops and Wolverine have been played less and less the farther away from the release date I've gotten with them, is what I will say. I still like both of the characters, but just I've found less and less table time for them. If I was going to play a committed X-Men roster and I was... higher on one of these characters along with Jean, I could see myself playing this card a lot. I think if you are playing, and this is like super hot take analysis, if you're playing these characters, I think this is a very good and compelling card. I would have to be pretty sure that I'm taking Jean, Cyclops, and Wolverine in some combination in more rosters than not when this is looking to make room into my 8.
So, I agree with you. I don't know exactly how good it is, though. I think, yeah, so I agree with you that it's tough to fit Jean, Cyclops, and Wolverine all into the same roster. They're expensive characters, and I'm a big fan of the cheaper X-Men. I really like Beast, Domino, and Storm.
Yes.
And I think if you've got all three on the table, then the effect when this triggers is really good. Bear in mind, the effect is not guaranteed, right? Gene just may simply not be dazed or KO'd over the course of the game. And although that might be good for you, it might not. This card might have had no effect. I've had two games with this card, and they were on completely different ends of the spectrum. Okay? So, game one, Gene got dazed, I think, on turn two, and Wolverine had already activated on turn two. He had a bit of power, was able to Berserker Barrage someone off of an objective, and I got a 2VP swing and did a bunch of damage to them. I was like, well, that was incredible, right? That card was amazing. And then game two, I had Cyclops, and my opponent killed Cyclops and then killed Gene. And I was like, oh, well, this card doesn't do anything. It's just kind of mocking me. So I don't know. I feel like the trigger is by no means guaranteed. And there's enough fail cases that I don't think this card is a slam dunk, even if you have the necessary characters to take it.
That's a good point, right? The timing of this is not always going to be a timing you can utilize, right? Especially if you're not running Cyclops, right? Wolverine is a relatively speaking short range attacker. Cyclops has a 4 and a 5. I mean, the 5 you need power for, but if you can get the free beam 5. I like the idea of triggering it yourself.
Does that work? It doesn't have an enemy effect clause?
Well, no, nope. Like you have to set it up yourself, right? So you're playing for it, right? You're shoving a low hit point gene up in front of something, right? You can't.
Or using all you've got.
Like,
you could use all you've got and get an extra attack out of this, right? That's quite cool.
No, it's supposed to be enemy effect, right?
No, it doesn't say enemy effect. It just says when an allied Jean Grey is dazed or KO'd, after the effect is resolved, Cyclops or Wolverine can play this card. So Jean can give it all she's got, and you can have two activations with her, plus a cheeky Cyclops attack or Wolverine poke.
And I guess if you really want to, right, Cyclops could beam her. If the 1 or 2 points is going to put her over the edge, and then you can get the extra attack. I'm just like...
Oh, right. So she could be hit in Cyclops' beam during his activation, killing her, and he gets so upset with himself that he beams someone a second time. That is a combo.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we'll see a lot of the card. Right now, I am optimistic about it. I think that's the best thing I can say.
That's fair. I think it's cool, and I do think it's worth considering when you have the characters. I think I'm less hard at than you, but I like it.
Yeah, so I think that wraps up our box review. I think we're both really high in it. And in the after the credits scenes, just we can explain this a little more. And if you don't know, if you're a patron, you can find us at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost, help support us, help support MCP, help support the Nexus, right, acrossthebifrost.com, so many other things. We're going to dive into a little bit more about maybe when you should take these characters over some of the other 5-threat characters. Mm-hmm. We both feel like now in the age of the internet, everyone goes, why would I ever take this character? This character is clearly better. And I think we'll talk about the clearly better statement as well as, you know, when does some nuance come into these conversations? Like, we understand it's the internet. We understand that there can only be one best thing, but we want to provide a little bit more context to that. So that's what we're going to go into for the after credit scenes. But before we get into that, Pat, it is the first week we're going to do this. Pat, did you know that you work for a music company?
I did know that, yeah.
Right, but everyone else doesn't, and now they know. So I thought for like a fun little gag we could do, you know, we always talk about the cultural differences. My understanding is American music is pretty prevalent in other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
And I have 3 daughters, one of which is a teenager now, so all I hear is pop music. So mm-hmm. Pat, I am going to read you the verse and a chorus from a pop music song.
Okay.
And you have to tell me the artist. You don't have to tell me the song name, the artist. Now, if you get it right, you get a point. And we'll see how many points you get after a couple weeks. If you get it wrong, then the next week, then the next episode, I'm going to read you another verse and chorus from the same artist until you're able to get it right.
Okay.
So your odds of getting it right increase as time kind of progresses. We have a gentleman's agreement that you're not going to Google this. All right?
Okay.
And we'll just see how you do.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned the lesson that stressing and obsessing about someone else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones. So, you need to calm down. You're being too loud. And I'm just like, you need to just stop. Like, can you just not step on my gown? You need to calm down.
Goodness. Well, TT, you can see me on camera. You can see I'm not Googling this. I got no idea. It sounds kind of like... Okay, so full disclosure, I've got no idea what this is. Sounds vaguely kind of like a Taylor Swift thing. Those lyrics sound kind of like Taylor Swift.
You need to calm down.
Awesome.
Good job. 1 point for Pat Darnford. One for one. And name that artist. You can stay tuned for next week. We'll go through another artist. I'm impressed, Pat. It must...
One for
I'm
one.
Impressed.
Perfect score.
I wasn't sure if, like, spoken word Taylor Swift translated very well. But hey. You got it. So thank you so much for everyone for listening. Pat, congratulations. We hope you enjoy some tea swizzle in your spare time. It's great she's transitioned from country to pop. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Thanks, special thanks to the patrons for supporting everything. And we will talk to you in the after the credit scenes. Till next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high. There's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the Bifrost skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.